called the Tivoli, and who lived in the lodge, was standing in the middle of the garden, looking at the sky.
"Again," he observed despairingly. "It's going to rain again. Rain every day, as though to spite me. I might as well hang myself. It's ruin, fearful losses every day."
He flung up his hands and went on, addressing Olenka.
"There. That's the life we lead, Olga Semyonovna. It's enough to make one cry. One works and does one's utmost. One wears oneself out, getting no sleep at night, and racks one's brain what to do for the best. And then what happens? To begin with, one's public is ignorant, boorish. I give them the very best operetta, a dainty mask, first-rate music hall artists. But do you suppose that's what they want? They don't understand anything of that sort. They want a clown. What they ask for is vulgarity. And then look at the weather. Almost every evening it rains. It started on the 10th of May and kept it up all May and June. It's simply awful. The public doesn't come, but I've to pay the rent just the same, and pay the artists."
The next evening the clouds would gather again, and Kukin would say, with an hysterical laugh,
"Well, rain away then. Flood the garden, drown me. Damn my luck in this world and the next. Let the artists have me up. Send me to prison, to Siberia, the scaffold."
And next day, the same thing. Olenka listened to Kukin with silent gravity, and sometimes tears came into her eyes. In the end, his misfortunes touched her. She grew to love him. He was a small, thin man with a yellow face and curls combed forward on his forehead. He spoke in a thin tenor. As he talked, his mouth worked on one side, and there was always an expression of despair on his face. Yet he aroused a deep and genuine affection in her. She was always fond of someone, and could not exist without loving. In earlier days she had loved her papa, who now sat in a darkened room, breathing with difficulty. She had loved her aunt, who used to come every other year from Bryansk, and before that, when she was at school, she had loved her French master. She was a gentle, soft-hearted, compassionate girl, with mild, tender eyes and very good health. At the sight of her full rosy cheeks, her soft white neck with a little dark mole on it, and the kind, naive smile which came into her face when she listened to anything pleasant, men thought, "Yes, not half bad," and smiled too, while lady visitors could not refrain from seizing her hand in the middle of a conversation, exclaiming in a gush of delight, "You darling!" The house in which she had lived from her birth upwards, and which was left her in her father's will, was at the extreme end of the town, not far from the Tivoli. In the evenings, and at night, she could hear the band playing, and the crackling and banging of fireworks, and it seemed to her that it was Kukin struggling with his destiny, storming the entrenchments of his chief foe, the indifferent public. There was a sweet thrill at her heart. She had no desire to sleep, and when he returned home at daybreak, she tapped softly at her bedroom window, and showing him only her face and one shoulder through the curtain, she gave him a friendly smile. He proposed to her, and they were married. And when he had a closer view of her neck and her plump, fine shoulders, he threw up his hands and said, "You darling!" He was happy. But as it rained on the day and night of his wedding, his face still retained an expression of despair. They got on very well together. She used to sit in his office to look after things in the Tivoli, to put down the accounts and pay the wages. And her rosy cheeks, her sweet, naive, radiant smile, were to be seen now at the office window, now in the refreshment bar, or behind the scenes of the theater. And already she used to say to her acquaintances that the theater was the chief and most important thing in life, and that it was only through the drama that one could derive true enjoyment and become...